Hey, what's up, everybody? It's your boy Dave Noodles. We are on the Type 88 show, where we talk to people about how they turn their dreams into reality. And this guy right here is no stranger to checking goals off his bucket list. He has won tons of contests. Every time I'm turning on the IG, he's winning another lyricist contest. I'm seeing him perform more than I see people out here, most people performing that are on tour. This guy is just, he lives for what he does. So I want to welcome my guy, Ron Solom, to the Type 88 show. What's up, man?
Not much, man. Thank you for having me. It's good to be here.
It's good to have you here, bro. You don't stop. You know, you've been grinding for quite a while. Maybe we could take it back to the day where, or when did you even find music? How did you even stumble upon writing?
So yeah, I pretty much started, I'd say around 2013, man. And, you know, music just kind of started as a outlet for me. Cause you know, like I was going through like my last year of high school at that time. It was pretty stressful, but you know, singing and making art and things of that nature really spoke to me, and it served as like a form of a therapy, you know. So that's pretty much. You mind holding on for 1 second?
Yeah.
Sorry. And yeah, man, just like, you know, that served as like a therapy for me, doing like singing and making music, emotional outlet type of thing. And you know, like I just, someone was telling me to just start recording myself on a laptop for some reason. I just had the something was telling me just to, you know, put it all down on recording so I could hear myself back. And it became a hobby that I just fell in love with. I was using like Audacity, and you know, it sounded terrible in hindsight, like being able to look back at it and listen to it now. But you know, back then it was just amazing to me, and I just kept going with it all throughout college. So everything can be traced back to I'd say around that time. And you know, life stresses somehow lead us to our biggest talents and, you know, our passions and loves and some strange twist of fate. So
that's real. I totally agree. And I'm a firm believer in, you know, like writing through it, you know, that there's every day there's something, you know. I know so many people that are going through something. They're fighting a fight. They're working towards this. They're dealing with this. They're trying to overcome that. And I always try to encourage them, you know, write it, just write, and not to write a song, just write how you're feeling, write what you're grateful for. Just put right. some things in perspective. And it's crazy. I've been thinking about my life, because I always think I work where I grew up. I work in the home I grew up. So I'm always crossing these memories of as a child. And
it's, you know, work like where you were raised.
So I'm always having these memories, and I'm like, I wish I wrote more stuff down when I was younger. I wish, because it could have just, I would have still had to deal with it, but I think it's a great way to deal with it, you know. And there's so many other ways to, you know, there's so many other outlets, but just writing, right. talking about what you're going through. Because you can't say everything to your mom when you're 13 and you like someone and you're feeling a type of way. Or, you know what I mean? Or you can't talk to your dad when he's at work. But then when you're writing to yourself, and that's amazing, bro, for you to find music and use it as an outlet for therapy and to really heal yourself, or to build yourself through, you know, special times in your life, whether good or bad. What was that first song that you brought to the world? What was that first one?
So I mean, from, you know, like 2013 to about 2015, I was doing mostly covers, to be honest. So started out purely singing. This is before I even knew like that I could rap if I kept doing it, you know. But like just started out singing, I guess, like old like Frank Ocean songs and, you know, like old like Motown content, you know, just real old stuff, and Smash Mouth too. Like, it was very random mixture of things. Oh. But like, you know, started recording those and putting those up on YouTube and things like that. And I wish I remembered the passwords to, you know, my old YouTube videos so I could take them down. But like, you know, you have to start somewhere. So
of course,
that was that point for me. My first original songs I started recording and writing in 2016. The first original song I wrote was actually called Anxiety. You know, it was based off of my own personal mental health journey and, you know, challenges and difficulties that I had at that time, and that, you know, I still have had through the years and have been trying to, you know, learn to work with and grow from. So everything is really relevant to my actual life.
It's so important. It's so important to, you know, share how you're feeling. And what's amazing is you're then becoming a voice for others, that when they hear it, you know, they're going through something, they could relate to it, or they could tap into certain parts of it. And so how's the response been to some of those records where you were maybe pouring your heart out, maybe mm-hmm. you even questioned putting it out because it was too real, mm-hmm. but then you put it out. How did it feel to put it out? And then what kind of responses did you receive? Do you have any memorable responses?
So, you know, it takes, people think like when they record stuff and put the on the internet, you know, that people are just gonna magically find them and you know, start listening to things. And it kind of took me years to realize that that's not how it works, you know. There's work that has to be done in order to even get your content heard at all by people, you know, even one person and stuff, before, you know, people start going to it on their own. But yeah, at first I was never, you know, really self-conscious or, you know, embarrassed about putting this type of stuff out. I know that, you know, there are people that maybe wouldn't be comfortable putting out, you know, mental health related songs or stuff about their life struggles. But for me, I don't know, I always felt like a confidence with it. And I felt like, you know, if anything, it would serve as a fossil or like a, you know, some type of keepsake, a record of, you know, what I went through and then, you know, what was going on. And those can't just, you know, those don't die. Like, those last forever. So I kind of felt super comfortable putting that stuff out, you know, just so people know, like, this is what's happening. And I felt the most passionate about those things, so I was able to write and record about them and make, you know, quality music that I genuinely enjoyed, because, you know, it was true to myself and I was letting stuff out. And I've only really noticed the responses from people, I would say, in more recent years. So maybe starting around like 2018, you know, people discovering my stuff on Spotify or anywhere else and going back and listening to the whole catalog and older records that I put out. And, you know, they come to me and they send me messages like, thank you for sharing this. You know, it was very brave of you to put this on record. And one guy even, you know, told me that my song like had helped him pretty much like save his life you know, and I legitimately got a compliment like that from one guy once about, you know, one of my songs, and I still have that screenshotted, you know, to this day. And I look at it once in a while whenever I need a reminder of, you know, the impact that I have, if I feel like I'm not getting anywhere, just to know that I put something out that possibly saved somebody's life, you know, that's struggling. And it was amazing to be the impact.
That's beautiful. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it's so easy to get caught up and be like, oh, the streams, everyone's posting the streams, everyone's posting the views, and that is all data. But mm-hmm. that right there, you can't even measure that. You can't even measure helping someone.
Right.
It mm-hmm. doesn't say how many people on Spotify you helped or lives you changed. You know right. what I mean? And so I think that's just a beautiful thing. I encourage people to just share their story, you know, it one way or another. And then if you could channel it through your gift, mm-hmm. Amazing things could happen. Or if you're just doing it for yourself for therapy, write it in a rhyme, record it in your phone voice memos, write it in a right. journal that has mm-hmm. a lock on it that only you know. Mm-hmm. Just taking care of, you know, being there for yourself and just doing, you know, helping yourself and letting things go, you know. And how do you feel about that? How do you feel about talking, you know, letting things go, and because things build up. Definitely. What are your thoughts on all that?
It's just not a good thing to do, you know, in general, to keep that stuff. Kind of learn that throughout life, like one way or another is going to come out. So it's best to, you know, address it when you can, because you can't run from yourself, if that makes sense, you know. So, and once you get the strength to, you know, deal with those things and bring them out into the light, it's like you rebuilt yourself as a person. And even though it's hard to go through those struggles, like when you come out on the other side, you're like unbeatable. And it's a beautiful feeling to, you know, speak your truth and acknowledge it and then grow from that. And we avoid, you know, pain and bad times, but sometimes you need that in order to find your best self. So.
Yeah. Yeah, man, I've grown up and I've always had very tough times saying like goodbye to something or someone. And, you know, you deal with all these questions of, should I keep this going? Should I continue this? Am I quitting my dream? Am I quitting right. my goal? But then there have been times where I looked at it, I'm like, you know, I had to pull the roots out of the ground and I had to plant a tree somewhere else. It wasn't me burying every tree that I ever had. It was me having to find the strength to be like, okay, you know, this isn't right for me. This person 100%. Isn't right for me. Mm-hmm. All these flags are proven otherwise, are proving it. This is proved. Like I couldn't have had more, like clues, like God couldn't have given me more, like, hey, bro, like, yo, be careful, man. Like literally, right. he probably could have just came down. Like it was at a point where he probably should have. And then I would just be like, I would probably hold on because I'm a very sentimental dude. So like holding on to certain things, holding on to even items and, you know, and people, it was tough for me to let certain people go, but they were toxic. They were hurting me in many ways, and letting go that way. And then also letting go of even just letting someone know, like, yo, man, you stepped out of line. Like, I don't understand. Like, why'd this go this way? You know, and I wasn't always a fan of conflict growing up. And even now, I'm not a fan of telling someone like, yo, man, what's going on? You know, that was a little out of line.
Right.
But then when I talk about it, either with someone else or directly with the person, letting it go is huge dividends of just how I feel being able to move forward. And letting go of people that were toxic, that were hurting me, that were taking away from everything, you know. And then it's not saying, oh, only keep people in your circle that are getting you money and that are funny and always positive. Like,
Right.
that's not fair, you know. Like, there's people that need us. You can't be like,
Yeah.
oh, my uncle, he's hurting, I don't want him in my life because he's not always happy because he has a broken leg. Like, no, like, we got to be there for
Right.
people too. It's not just let go of people that are having a tough time. So that's,
Definitely.
you know, so, but that's real, man. What's your,
And
yeah.
now, I was just going to say, kind of going back to the point you mentioned about the red flags and the signs, like they're just going to keep getting worse, until you till you finally, make that change. And sometimes making changes is a hard thing to do, but one way or another, life is going to push you, so might as well embrace it.
Yeah, man. And here you are in the music industry, which you don't know if it's a red flag. Sometimes, you know what I mean? There's all these different places and things and contracts and certain things. It's hard to determine what's right. Sometimes we learn it after we've been in a relationship a long time. And this could be a business relationship. You know, it's tricky, but then it's just like constant learning.
Right.
So, what's your take on like intuition? What's your take on like having gut feelings when dealing with certain situations or dealing with people, especially, you know, in the industry or just in life?
Definitely in life, I used to not trust that gut feeling, And like you said, you kind of do what you want to do and you ignore things. But as I get older, it just kind of seems like that feeling is correct, And I usually use that to guide my interactions and my decisions nowadays as an adult, because it, in a way, it when a decision kind of vibrates in it and things feel correct for your path and just your energy and your life, And looking back on it, the times that, things didn't seem right, they most of the time didn't turn out to be right, So you kind of should trust your intuition and your gut feeling and just the energy of yourself in relation to like the world around you. Like when everything is in sync, there's no word for that, but you can feel it, And it's just like you always end up better because of that. So nowadays I kind of just follow that and use it to guide me, especially with this music stuff. Just early on, because in the local music scene, you don't really know. Like you think, you're gonna go out there and meet these people that want to hear you and want to see you win and put you on, shows and things. And then when you get out here and interact with people, you see that there are people that want to listen, but there's also just as many, like scammers and promoters and people just looking to take advantage of, artists with a dream and things of that nature, and people that just don't want to see you win, as much as they may pretend to. So especially here, you really see like a darker side of that behind the scenes, and it changes how you interact with everybody that you come across. People that are hosting shows, no offense, if you have like a cover charge or anything like that for your shows, but sometimes they charge like super large amounts of money, you know, just for like a 10-minute slot. You yeah. think you're about to perform in front of a whole crowd and get a whole bunch of new followers. And it's like, you know, the promoter knew nobody was coming to that show or nobody that would actually like your art. So, you know, you have to learn that not listen to all the stuff people are saying because they could be lying. So.
Yeah. Right. And
right.
It's just, and it's like, if you just don't stop, you're going to be good. It's just, mm-hmm. but it's also like driving really fast down a block right. with stop signs. You know, there are risks involved, you know, so being in an industry where you're just going full speed and you're trying your best, you're doing whatever you can, but then you're going to run into a stop sign. Maybe you didn't even know there was a stop sign. It was like a tree covering it. And you're like, oh shit.
Right.
My bad. But it's like, as long as you don't stop following your dream,
mm-hmm.
it don't stop. You know, because you right. don't stop. Definitely. And there's so many lessons along the way. And shout out to, you know, the wholehearted folks that are putting together shows, the platforms that are supporting, you know, looking out, because there's so many good ones. There's mm-hmm. so many, you know, I could go on and on about all the good ones. But there also are opportunists and people seeing the opportunity to... get someone to pay to perform or give, you know, mm-hmm. and I know people that have paid to perform that have been across the country doing it. And a lot right. of what we see is a lot of pay to perform on larger scales. So mm-hmm. it's kind of, you just kind of have to pick how you promote it, but you know, but I could go on and on about that, but shout out to the, you know, the platforms that are really putting on for the artists. The showcases, the sites, the, you know, there's so many good folks out there that are really looking out and
definitely. And it's just you know, using that intuition, that judgment, like you said, to kind of guide your way, you know. And of course you're going to make mistakes along the way, so don't be, you know, too hard on yourself if
yeah,
you do end up getting, you know, scammed. It's happened to all of us. So, but you know, you have to grow through these experiences. So, just take it all as part of the plan for you.
Yeah, like that can't be the deciding factor of your future. You can't be like, right. oh, I went on a bad date 10 years ago. Mm-hmm. I'm now not going to date anyone. You're blocking yourself. You're blocking your blessings. You know, I've been saying lately, don't Dikembe Mutombo your blessings.
Exactly.
You know, a lot of people see their blessing, they just go like this, and they're like, no, no, no. But like, don't do that to your blessing.
Right. Because people are so used to disappointment, you know, and when they start.
It's tricky, right? Because then you got to, mm-hmm. it's configuring, it's like unwrapping. You're seeing a gift and then you unwrap it. Sometimes it's not a gift. There's all these little things, but mm-hmm. it's like, just keep going. Don't stop, you know? And
we get
smarter as we go. And and I can learn everything right now, but there's no telling that tomorrow I could make a mistake or something bad. You know, someone may get over on me, but that's not going to stop me.
Exactly. And you know, mistakes are part of life. You kind of just got to take the L's and, you know, graciously, you know, accept them. So
yeah, man, what's your take on forgiveness? Because I know mm-hmm. when we deal with situations or we deal with people that may hurt us,
mm-hmm.
there's this like healing period. And to me, I feel like forgiveness is one of my constant battles. There's people that they do stupid things all the time. They hurt people that I love.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they get over on people. I still gotta look at them. I still gotta deal with them. Or they've hurt my people in the past. I gotta look at them. And sometimes it's hard for me to forgive them. So mm-hmm. it's a constant battle for me. What's your take on it? How do you deal with it? you have any tips for us?
I would say, you know, I'm not too far off from where you are in terms of, you know, being forgiving and, you know, trying to learn to bring that into your everyday life and, you know, letting things go. I have a couple of songs, you know, addressing that very topic. I do have, you know, like a song called Forgiveness and one song called like The Grudge. So, you know, you can kind of see, you know, where I've been mentally. And I guess one of those things that you kind of have to do is, as I've gotten older, I realized that I can't take things too personally, you know, not saying if somebody does something wrong to me that I shouldn't stand up for myself, you know, but just the fact that we tend to pile up all the wrongs that were done to us. So then, you know, when somebody new comes and does something stupid, you know, our reaction isn't necessarily just the reaction to them. It's the bottle up of like all the times we've been done wrong, you know, and we start to feel like the world, you know, is doing something against us personally, like it's attacking. But when you spend time getting to know other people for real, and even if you find yourself, you know, dealing in communities of like the less fortunate, you know, if you spend time with the homeless, for example, or, you know, a couple times in my life, I have been in places where I've seen people that are mentally ill, you know, and have mental illness struggles that are worse than, you know, the struggles that I have dealt with in my life. And you see the point that they're at, and then it really opens your perspective and your eyes up to the fact that, you know, life is not beating just you up. Like a lot of people are getting beat up, like everybody gets beat up to some degree, and some a lot worse than you. So it's not the world targeting you, and that kind of makes it easier to roll with the punches, you know, and accept the pain, and it's still going to hurt, but you know, you don't become a victim to it. And the same with people, because you realize that there are times that you've done wrong to other people as well, and you're the reason that they are hurting and can't forgive, you know, but it wasn't intentional on your part. So you kind of have to put yourself and other people and have mercy, you know, on that. And it takes time to learn that. It's a case by case thing, but you know, just don't take things personally.
That's real. Mm-hmm. That's definitely real, man. Yeah. Yeah, bro. Mental health is just so important to address. And I think it's wonderful that you know, you touch on so many different topics in the tracks. You know, you're being open, you're being honest, transparent. And then you're also giving people, maybe they couldn't put it into words, or maybe they're having a tough time talking it out. Right. They have a way to experience, you know, maybe a relief or a joy, or even like going to the gym and working out to it or something, you know, giving them an outlet through your words. And I think that's a powerful thing, bro.
Definitely. Music has a power that I can't really put in the words, but you know it's there. And I've seen how it's affected lives, even for me, you know, listening to music. Sometimes that's all you have at like your worst moments. And, you know, it's like all the pain or like the crying that you may want to do, like finally hits you, you know, once you hear the song, it's like nobody's hearing me, but like this song hears you, like, because this person has been there, and then it forces you to release. And that's, you know, a great feeling as well.
What album was there for you during a time where you needed it most? Do you have like that one that really got you through?
I've had multiple, to be honest, you know.
Which one?
Definitely. Kid Cudi's, you know, Kid Cudi is somebody that people kind of say my music gives them a similar feeling towards, I guess, because he's also so open, you know, about his personal struggles in life and how he deals with that. Same for like Kanye West, and especially like in his older music, 808s and Heartbreak era type, that type of music. But you know, just a lot of rappers and a lot of music that spoke on those things and made it okay to address those topics in music, you know. So I kind of go back to those as a reminder, especially, you know, that artists, people think artists and the bigger names don't go through anything, but that's not true either. And, you know, sometimes you need that reminder. But definitely I would say Kanye and Kid Cudi.
So you on would an say, artist standpoint. So 808, was that the one? Or those are, or what Cudi album was your one?
His last one. I can't even think of the
Man on the Moon 3, The Chosen?
Yes. Mm-hmm. You know, the one with his face and then like the half skull type of thing.
The one that just came out?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That had some great tracks on it. And of course, Pursuit of Happiness, you know, that song spoke to everybody. those are big go-tos for me.
Yeah, that first Cudi album was just, it was just special, man. Like, it just, it was a moment. And I was very fortunate to see him perform for the first time in New York City. And, ooh, like, I've shook his hand several times because that's how, when he started, he was just in the crowd, literally just vibing. And so I've...
Right.
He's one artist that I've like hung out with, you know, for short periods of time, a few times, but he literally reached out and touched me like in person. And it was just dope to just see that. And just to see now he's in films, and it's just a beautiful thing. And he's a gift, man.
Good growth. Mm-hmm.
So I'm so proud to see him. I remember that time and the freshman cover. But I remember a year or so, a few years before that, when he performed the Hero Ballroom with A-Track at the 10 Deep right. show. And I went with my sister and a few people, my friend Brenda.
Mm-hmm.
And we saw him perform with Steve Aoki, like before the word EDM was a thing. Like,
right.
It was like they were just throwing dope events in Brooklyn. And now, like, to see all them now, Aoki and A-Track and Cudi, they're just so big now. And I remember going to a bunch of his early shows, and I remember when that first album dropped, bro. It was like, that was like a pin in my mind, like my heart. Like, I just remember right. that. I remember what was going on. I remember who I was with. I remember me and my brother bumping it time on, you know, just getting in and being like, that was like the plan for the day. It was like picking him up and playing that shit on blast. Right. And I just remember,
don't forget.
Yeah, and that album was special, man. That first album, and he really came correct on this last one. And yeah, bro, that was such a there was a mine was it was during an interesting time for me. It was the Eminem show. And
yeah.
It was during a time where I was punished. I did some dirt or whatever, and I couldn't leave my house. I don't need to go into too many detail, but I was doing some dirt. It wasn't that bad if you look at it, you know, now, but back then it was like really frowned upon, and I couldn't leave my house. It was summer going into senior year of high school. And that was on the quest to be in the best summer of my life. Like, and let's just say all I remember is that album. It's just being home, working out hours every day to that album. And didn't know who I could trust, didn't know in my circle if anyone, you know, set me up.
Right.
It was during a weird time because I had a lot of friends. And then it was like a questionable time, like, who do I trust? Who do I trust? And that album for me, like, it was an important album for me in that moment. You know, and these are like first world problems. Me being in a home with my parents, feeding me, playing video games and working out. But for me, at that time in my life, it sucked. And that album got me through shit. You know, I know other people had it a lot worse than me, and I'm not comparing. But for me, it got me through.
You needed it.
Yeah. And then the first time I went out after almost 2 months was that concert, was the Eminem show. And the amount of craziness that I was able to go after 2 months of being locked in during the summer. So summertime, it's like four times longer because you're not in school, you're not seeing anyone. I went to that concert, bro. That concert was insane. Like, I literally lost my mind at that concert.
I can imagine that.
I had no voice. Yeah. I was dripping in sweat. That, because that album was everything for me. So when I went, that was like my first day out. But that was a special album for me right there. College Dropout. But
that too, that's a great one.
Oh, man.
Late Registration, I'll definitely put up there too.
So, you know, we're talking about hip hop. We're talking about life. What's your take on hip hop, the current state and everything with it?
You know, just with hip hop and I guess music in general, I feel like, honestly, the quality seems to be decreasing. And I don't, you know, mean that to disrespect, you know, whoever's successful now. But, you know, that's something that kind of has always bothered me to some degree, you know, just how much of a game everything has become, you know, like, and how it's really just a matter of who you know, you know, and like luck, because there's so many talented artists out here that you come across, even for me personally, like meeting people, you know, that are great. And it's like, why aren't they getting the recognition for it? But, you know, people on the internet are getting all these views and likes and fame for doing nothing, you know? And I think that it's kind of frowned upon to say these types of things nowadays, because it's like, you know, just let everybody do their own thing and whatever their art is, just let that be. But then, you know, I think to be able to speak on it and to come with that attitude about quality and, you know, making these statements and keeping some of those earlier edgy roots of hip hop, you know, like the competition side of things, and not so much, you know, buddy, even though you, of course you can have friends, but, you know, like making sure that you still want to be the best that you can be or still be, you know, the best period, and want to have that drive to compete and show what you've got, you know, I think all that's necessary, as well as, you know, keeping the quality standards. So I think that should come back in music in general, not just with hip hop. I think you see it across the board with all topics, so all genres.
That's real, man. Yeah, it's a lot, right? This, when we grew up, it was, I feel like it was like TV, right? We had a few channels, we had a few shows, but now it's how there's so many things. How do we pick? How do we, and then what, how do we pick of our favorite artist that has four albums that came out this year? You know, there's certain artists that go so hard and they're just dropping stuff time in, time out. So it's tricky, but there's like, for me, I try to find a sentimental attachment to it. Like I'll buy an album, I'll buy the CD, I'll bump it in the car, I'll open up the booklet. I try to bring the romantic feeling to certain things, like especially if I have a favorite artist, like the Kid Cudi. I buy an album every month. I do it like clockwork. On the 8th of every month, buy a new album, pop open the book. Maybe it was an album I bootlegged when I was 10, and I didn't have the 10 for it. Like Aquemini, I just bought that. I never owned it.
Nice.
I just copped it. I had AT Aliens. I never bought Aquemini. I don't have Stankonia. There's so many ways to kind of dig back in. It's tricky. I try to look at music as food almost. Like you could get that home cooking from grandma, or you could get that fast stuff quick, 2 minutes. It makes you feel good, and then maybe a minute or two later, you're questioning it, or you're wondering, or maybe it just makes you feel good in that moment, and that's what you need in that moment. But it's definitely the industry is so different, the accessibility is so different, the quality, it's tricky. I love Donda. I love Donda. I love what he did with it. He put so much effort in with so many features, and he has the budget and the following to do something of that nature. But I love that he put so much effort in, and he mixed the new, the Fivio Foreign, the Playboy, and then he'll have the Jada and the Styles. Like I think that's like my standout album of last year.
That definitely was a unique album in general. So I wouldn't put that in the
Of
the
course.
category, but I guess I like like Griselda as well, and how they brought like a pure raw energy back to hip hop too. So it was definitely a standout for me, and they never stopped working at all. So.
Yeah. Bro, it's crazy. I was looking up Mac Miller emails, like just keyword Mac Miller on Gmail. And I found there's this event that they have in Atlanta. I forgot the name of it, but he was performing at it. This was like 12 years ago. And I remember seeing the names on the flyer. Special guest, J. Cole. Special guest, Cool Kids. Special kid guest, Kids in the Hall. Freddie Gibbs. And I was like, oh,
Big
sh
names.
I was like, but at that time, bro, Gibbs was just like, he was just kind of touching the blogs just barely. You could tell he had the drug money and he was paying to kind of get that extra promo to be on Nat Wright and to Dope Boys and all that. Like he was using probably, his hustle money to get in those spots. But then I'm like, oh snap, bro. Like that guy last year, he was just nominated for a Grammy. And I feel like he's about to put out some crazy album coming up after,
This stuff is great.
Alfredo. And
Yeah.
I was like, oh snap, like he didn't stop. He didn't stop. And yeah, the Griselda, I'm big on Benny's probably my favorite in terms of rotation. I love Bulletproof. I probably bumped that more than most albums last year. I know it may even came out the year before. And I love The Plugs I Met albums. Those are just fire. And I love the tapping into like the mafia vibe. It takes me to those films, and you could visually see what's going on. So yeah, shout out to Griselda doing their thing. Freddie, what was your favorite album of last year? Did one really stand out to you?
Last year. Honestly, I think one that doesn't get much recognition as much as it should is definitely Meek Mill's album, Expensive Pain, and Isaiah Rashad. He put out a project. I over the past few years, like I was always one of like Isaiah Rashad's biggest critics. For the last few years, actually, I just kind of never really vibed with his stuff, but this last album really impressed me. And at first I didn't take the opportunity to like dive in, but once I did, I was like, oh, this is great. You know, same with Meek Mill. I think he really steps his game up too, and people don't talk about it as much as they should.
Yeah, and it's true. And I think it's good that I think it's important what you said. Like, I sat down, I soaked it in, and I think that's so important. I think it's so important. Because everything's kind of shuffle mode nowadays. Right. And you kind of, like, for me lately, and I'm just like, yo, I got to kind of find ways to, like, pause time just a bit. Because things are moving really quick. I'm working. Before you know it, I'm going to sleep, and I'm back at it the next day. Like, how do we just find a way to just slow time down a little bit? And I think, you know, what you said, sitting down, popping the album in, and just taking it in. And just soaking it up. And because I think the feelings are there with the music and the artists are creating it, but just sometimes, like, there's so much coming at us, we don't even know which way to look or what to take. So I gotta definitely check out that album. I know of it, but I didn't get to spin it yet.
What's the name of it? I definitely think you'll enjoy that one. Expensive Pain.
I've heard Expensive Pain.
Oh, okay.
Isaiah's, what's his?
I think that's called The House is Burning.
Word.
Yeah. It was really good, in my opinion, you know.
So, yeah, yeah.
I'm glad I gave that a chance to marinate.
Yeah. And that's important too, because I saw a bunch of people going in on the Cole album, like, oh, what's this? But like, yo, are you give that a couple of spins and see what he's saying in a breath. Like, he's going in, like, and like, exactly. I really enjoyed that album, Off Season.
Right, definitely. I think it set the tone for the whole year. Once he dropped that, you know, you kind of saw some of the more like rap artists come out the house and put more effort into their stuff. So I think he set that off for 2021, definitely.
Yeah. I really enjoyed it. It doesn't hit you instantly like a pop record, you know, like a Drake song. It has this little more pop flair that hits you kind of in a dancey. But yo, that Cole album hit, man. And, you know, he brought when he came out with Killa in the beginning, like, that set the tone for me, because Killa was – he's been one of my favorite artists since a youngin. I remember Confessions of Fire. Like, he postponed that album like 8 times. And I remember as like a 10-year-old changing that on my calendar, that I would on my wrestling calendar, like every month I would cross out Confession. I'm like, come on. Like, where is this? So like when he came out with Killa on that first track, I was ready to go.
Right. Big moments, man. That's what it's all about.
And then he played some ball over in Africa. Like, that was just cool, you know, just doing cool stuff, you know. And
yeah, that was strange and different.
Yeah, yeah. He only, you know, only Cole could pull something like that off. But that was cool.
Right, we're just like, okay, sure.
We've talked about so many awesome things, you know, just mental health, the state of hip-hop. This is a game that I like to play. It's called Dream On, where I kind of gather some data based on our convo in the moment, and then I freestyle questions to you based on your dreams. So I'm just gonna throw like a dream question your way, and you tell me the first person or first thing or whatever, you know, whatever comes to your mind when you think of this question. And if you're not feeling the question, you know, you could swipe left or whatever and tell me. But I try to do it. I try to do it based on the interview experience. Okay. So let's get right to it. So if you could open up on a tour with any artist, who would it be?
It would be Boss from Dreamville, because honestly, he's one of my favorite rappers of all time. And his music really resonates with me, so I would love that. I've actually tried sending him a few emails, and no response, but you know, That's definitely the one.
If you could remix any song of yours with any artist, what song and what artist? One of your songs.
That's tough. Right. I would probably do Body Bags, and based off the pure popularity that's received, I guess the artist that I would put on that, who I want to hear on that, man. Honestly, it would have to be, it's either going to be J. Cole or Kendrick, of course.
That'd be fire. Hey, we're dreaming right now. So if you got both, that'd be sick. I saw a Cole tweet, or was it Kendrick, the other day. I think I'm hoping for a record from them, or
Yeah,
many.
it's been years waiting for Kendrick to drop.
If you could perform in any venue or arena anywhere, what spot would it be?
Of course, it has to be Madison Square Garden, though, because I've grown up on the East Coast, New Jersey, and Madison Square Garden is that place. Like, if you've done it there, you made it. So that's
That's,
definitely the one.
yeah, bro. That the Mecca, bro.
Yes, definitely.
Actually going to a Knick game in a few weeks, so shout out to my lady for hooking it up on
Okay.
Christmas.
That's
I'm
what's
hyped to be
happening.
back in the guy. I haven't been in the garden in a while. I can't even remember.
Right. That's what's up, man.
The guard, yeah.
Definitely get some footage of that, right?
Yeah. If you could work with any director to add music to any one of their upcoming films, who would it be? We don't know the film, but what director would it be?
It would be doesn't really fit, but Christopher Nolan, man. Like, all his movies are my favorites. Like the Dark Knight, Interstellar, Inception, those types of films, man. They're like super deep. I don't know if
Yeah.
my music fits in with that, but it would be great.
That's fire. If you could hear your music on any TV show, what show could you hear your stuff on, or want to hear or have your stuff on?
Definitely not any, show that it would fit once again, but like Curb Your Enthusiasm and Seinfeld, those are my favorite,
Word.
TV shows.
Okay.
It doesn't match at all. I know.
That's dope. That's dope. Do you watch
Real.
Euphoria by any chance?
I do not. I've heard it's good. I haven't gotten around to that yet.
I feel like I could hear something of yours on there.
That would be
That's one of my
dope too.
shows right there. I'm
I want
hyped for
that
that
too,
comeback.
man. Let's get the
That's dope. That's dope. If you could open up for any public speaker or activist, who would it be, alive or dead?
placements. Of course, I mean, if we're talking about those that have passed away. Cliche answer, I would have to go with MLK or Malcolm X, but I guess for modern times it would be Eric Thomas, the hip hop preacher. Of course, that guy gets me pumped up.
He's the man. Yeah, he goes hard.
So it would definitely be him.
That's really cool, man. If you could write a song to anyone that you didn't meet, but maybe in your family, where you, it could be someone in the future, who would you write a song to?
I would write a song to, my unborn children.
Word. It's beautiful.
Just to give them, encouragement and true life words, straight from the heart, just about, how much some of the things that we thought mattered in life, you know, don't matter. And, you know, like the insecurities and how much weight we put into certain people, and, you know, whether we were accepted or not, just all things I would get across to them to make them confident in themselves and strong as individuals. Definitely.
That's beautiful, bro.
Stuff that I had to learn, you know?
Yeah. That's beautiful, man. That's, that's dope, man. Yeah. And yeah, I love this game because when we talk about our dreams, even though they may sound crazy, they become a little less crazy when you tell someone them, because you never know who you're talking to. I may know Eric Thomas. I may know Kendrick. Like we talk about 6 degrees of separation. The world now, bro, most of the time it's about three. I know someone, you know, I know someone who works for Roc Nation. I know someone who produced on Nas's last album. I know the person who designed the cover for Nas's album, who works for Mass Appeal. So you never know, of course, who you're talking to. Like, maybe that has nothing to do with Eric Thomas, my friend doing graphic design for Nas, but you never know. So I think this game is important because it may sound crazy, but like, bro, imagine the stuff Kanye was saying when he was 20. Like, it may have sounded crazy, but like, bro, we're seeing like crazy dreams come to life on the regular, and they can come true. But it's like, we talked about who do you know, the alignment, certain things, luck. There's a lot of factors, but I think just talking about it and just being like, yo, oh, you know, I know Eric Thomas.
Right.
You know, like, especially with the internet. That's my brother's uncle. Like, he went to school with him back in, you know, HBCU, like before you know it, like 3 degrees. And then it's, and then it's showing and proving, showing up and then delivering. When you get to that, you know, when Kanye got in the studio with Jermaine Dupri when he was 19, he was ready to go. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, he was ready to go. Like, and then he did it. And then he took it, flipped it, took it, flipped it, and just taken what the opportunity you have. Like Cudi, bro, when he did 808s and Heartbreak. Bro, he literally wrote that album. Like, think about
it. Yeah, you can see the influence, too.
That he wrote it, like, he, if you look at the linear notes, S. Meskitty, bro, like almost every record, he helped craft it, and then it gave him the flip. He flipped that into Man on the Moon, flipped it to Man on the Moon again. You know what I mean? And it's just taking these blessings that we have, and then our preparation, and then just flipping it, and then God gives us these responsibilities. What do we do with it? We have all these new followers. What do we do with it? Do we make a fake GoFundMe page because we know we're going to get 10 G's, but then we have no followers the next year? Or do we take it and flip it, take the blessing and turn it to more blessings? You know, I'm doing the latter. Any blessing that we got, we gotta take it, flip it, share it. And
There's so many that, you know, want those platforms and that opportunity. So if you get that chance, you have to make the most of it and pay it forward, you know. So when you get them, you don't squander them. So that's all that I keep in my head, you know, like if I am blessed enough to, you know, reach that point, can't mess that opportunity up. So
hard work, meet in preparation, but it's like we may not get to choose when we have to be ready. We just have to be ready. You know, if we've just been, if we don't stop and we just keep pursuing that thing that matters to us, when we're presented this blessing, what do we do with it? We got to get ready or be ready or find a way to get ready in that moment. And, you know, bro, I'm very inspired by our conversation. And I believe that many of those dreams can come true for you.
Thank you, man. I appreciate that. I appreciate you having me and, you know, sharing all these ideas and chopping it up with you. It was a great conversation.
Of course, man. Yeah, you're always welcome back to the show. What could people look out for this year? And new tracks, new shows?
You know, the shows, those don't stop either. I mean, due to, you know, like the ongoing pandemic, of course, I am being safe, and I don't live, you know, on my own at the current moment. So I do need, you know, I have people I need to look out for. So I just try to do shows, you know, at opportune times, and you definitely look forward to seeing that. And in terms of songs, of course, you know, I do plan to record at some point this year, but I've really been focusing on doing, like, you know, behind the scenes stuff and marketing and making videos for things that are already out there, you know, building my fan base. So expect to see me, but, you know, also a lot of silence from me. So, so a mixture of both.
It's so valuable to just lock yourself in a room doing 5 beats a day for 3 summers. Yeah. Like, I know I reference Ye a lot, but just having that lock in focus. And then, you know, you could compare it, and then there's so many people saying, I'm about to do, mm-hmm. which is good. But doing, producing, you know, producing more than you consume is so key, you know, and I think it's important to just have those locked in moments. So, you know, then you have so much to share. And you know, we've talked about all these mental health things, bro. Like, there's just value and, you know, finding your solitude and figuring out your peace and all these things. So, you know, I'm looking forward to it, and I trust your process. So, you know, whenever appreciate you drop that, it, man. I know it'll be well planned. And for anyone out there, make sure to connect with my guy right here. Let me just pop up his gram if you're on the visual side of things. Just connect with him right here, Ron Solem. That's nice. RONSOLEMN. Connect with my guy right here. Follow his journey. He got something for everyone. Songs for any mood, whether you're trying to get through something or just try to level up at the gym. Like, he will take you there.
Appreciate that, man. Thank you.
Yeah, bro. So you're always welcome back. You know, keep spreading that, you know, passing that light, shining the light on, you know, mental health, helping others, the community, Jersey.
Right. And thank you, man. And thank you for, you know, having me and keep spreading the spotlight on the independent artists, the local music scene, man. It's needed. So thank you.
Of course. That's how we roll. And for everyone tuned in, make sure to, of course, connect with Ron Solem. Make sure to check the Type 88 show on your favorite podcast platform. Find me on YouTube. We got the video interviews right on there. We're on Maker Park Radio every other Wednesday at 6 p.m. And we've been dreaming for the evening, but as Ron and I say, don't stop. It don't stop. Exactly. And, you know, we were talking about it. Now we're going to hang up, start all over tomorrow, and start doing it and making the dreams a reality. So if anyone that's out it. There needs some support with their dreams, don't hesitate to reach out. You know, put on some Ron in the morning, get up and get it. Write those goals down. You know, start your morning in a good way and set the pace for, you know, we have a lot going on in our day, but, you know, write those goals. Write how you're feeling. Share your love. You know, talk to someone, even if you're dealing with something. You know, let that thing go. And we learned so many great gems talking to Ron here tonight. And you know, bring them back. And if you got to drop a bomb on the gems, please do. we're always learning, and we want to learn from you guys too. So we thank you all for tuning in. Don't stop dreaming.
Yeah. Yep, definitely don't stop. Thank you, Stereotype, and y'all have a great night, man.